You know what? We're talking about the ministry of angels. And it's a powerful ministry. And the Bible tells us not to let it slip. We have let these things slip. The ministry of angels is one of those things. Now, we don't worship angels. They are not to be worshipped. God alone is to be worshipped and adored as he loves us. You know, would he tell you to do something that he wouldn't do himself? He told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. God loves himself. Not that he's full of himself, but he is so full of love, and he can't help but love you the same amount that he loves himself, the same amount that he loves Jesus, as he loves. So the ministry of angels is designed by God to serve us. Now, angels are not divine beings. They are created beings. They are spirits. They're unlike us. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are a triune being created in the image and after the likeness of God. Angels aren't. They are just spirits. So we don't worship them. They are there to serve us. And they delight in us. You know, Jesse Duplantis, when he went to heaven, he found out angels are more interested in us, in serving us, than we are of seeing them. They love seeing, they marvel about us. They are delighted in us. They delight in giving you strength in times that you need strengthening. What does it say? They excel in strength, hearkening unto the voice of his word. When you start saying the word of God, they are there to strengthen you, then to fortify you, and to help you get over where you need to be. They're your servants. Anybody have a question about that? God says, let us make man in our image. And they said, what is man that you're considering that, or you consider him? You made him a little lower than God in Psalms. In fact, turn there. Turn to Psalms chapter 8. And let's go to verse 4, I believe it is. Yeah, there it is. What is man that you are mindful of him? God is mindful of me. He considers my way. Mindful of him. And the Son of Man, that you had visited him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now, that's wrong. That's a wrong translation. It's Elohim, which is God, and it belongs only to God. It is God's name, Elohim. It's in the first verse of the first chapter of the Bible. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and earth. For you have made him a little lower than God and have crowned him with glory and honor and made him to have dominion over all the works of thy hands. Now, are the angels works of his hands? That was pretty weak. Are the angels works of his hands?
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Who has dominion over all the works of his hands? Yes! Praise God. You have, and he has crowned you, not the angels, he crowned you with glory and honor. Adam was clothed with the glory of God. You are clothed with the glory of God when you were recreated, and your spirit man was totally recreated. But it's just, you are a spirit. You know, I went to church when I was a kid. Nobody ever told me I was a spirit. Nobody ever told me that God speaks to my spirit. Nobody ever told me that God leads me by my spirit. Nobody ever told me that. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. My soul is made up of my mind, my intellect, my will, my emotions, that whole realm in there. And as I renew my mind to what the word says about me, when I look in the mirror, this is my mirror, and it tells me who I am in the spirit. That's the only way I know who I am, is by this. So when I open up the word of God, and it tells me that ships have rudders and horses have bits and people have tongues and they all do the same thing. They set a course. And you know what? As long as that bit stays in the horse's mouth, guess what? He will go wherever you could be 120 pounds on a 1,500-pound animal. And as long as that bit is there, you're in control. And that horse will go wherever you want. And if you stay on that course, say that, stay on that course, you will reach your destination. Not where the horse wants to go, but where you want him to take you. A ship has a rudder that is very small compared to that ship. But that ship will go, there's tons and tons and tons of steel. And that ship will go wherever that rudder goes. And as long as that rudder keeps that course, that ship on course, guess what? It will reach its port. It will reach its destination. And you have a tongue that does the same thing. Your tongue sets the course of your life. You frame your world by your words, because you are just like God. You were created in his image and in his likeness, crowned with glory and honor, to have dominion over all the works of his hands. And you have dominion over your tongue. You get to choose your words, whether victory or defeat, whether power or weakness. And no matter what the condition is, you can still blaze through it with your mouth. And here's the thing, you may not have a lot of faith right now. But Brother Hagin used to teach us that you can actually school yourself into faith by saying what God says about you. And when you say what God says about you, you cannot be wrong. If God says you were healed, that's the truth. And that truth will make me free. Now, when I speak that word, here's why I'm bringing it up. When I speak that word, let's go to Psalm 91. When I speak that word, the angels hearken to it. Actually, let's go to Psalm 103, verse 20. Sorry about that. I apologize profusely. Like I said, angels, the ministry of angels is voice activated. They are attracted to the word of God. They are attracted to someone whose heart is filled with God, abundant with the things of God. And when you speak it, they recognize the voice, the anointing, and the love. They are attracted to love. They love to give love. Did you know that? When Jesus was at his weakest point, at the end of his trial in the wilderness, says the angels ministered to him. What were they doing? They were strengthening him. You know, God led Jesus out to the wilderness. Why? So he could be defeated? No, so he could overcome and show the devil that there's a new sheriff in town. Show the devil, I'm here. And he used the gifts of the Spirit to defeat the devil on every he never lost an argument. He never lost anything. He never gave anything, ceded anything to the devil. Not one time did he ever come in second to no matter what the devil did. And then at the end, all of a sudden, it got real easy for the devil. You know, he should have known better. But he just is so full of himself, he couldn't help himself. And it got so easy for him. Man, look, I can have him arrested now. Let's get him on that cross. Let's kill him while we can. And God's saying, please do that. Please do that. Please do that. Let all heaven get behind that. And the devil, it says, if the devil knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He walked right into the trap because he was blinded by his own pride and hunger for power. And he said, I'll exalt myself above the throne of God. His plan of redemption will not happen, and he will be a liar, and I will gain all of this. And God says, no, you won't. 50 days later, the devil saw 2,120 Jesuses standing there on the day of Pentecost, just as if they were transfigured before him. And he looks at this and he starts backpedaling. And you notice right away, he had to regather himself before he could launch persecution against the church. Angels, angels, angels. There are all kinds of angels. And the biggest hindrance that we have of really getting involved and becoming participants in their ministry and be affected by their ministry is really our own mind. We need mind renewal about this. It says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. I said we are transformed by the renewing. Say that. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. I think God's thoughts. He thinks through me. He makes a way where there is no way. Amen. Amen. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You are a full package. You are complete in Him. You are not complete if you're single. You're not complete by another person. Jerry Maguire. Oh, you complete me. No, you are complete in Him. T. You know, we get so many of these crazy ideas from movies that we see. And even though we don't agree with it, when we're seeing it, it's still seed. And it'll go in here, and you got to be careful. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Little rudder, big results. Praise God. I'll get into my message in a minute here. Angels. Praise God. One thing we have to realize when we're talking about the ministry of angels is this. The spiritual realm is so much bigger than the natural realm. So much more power. Everything that you can see in this physical natural realm was made by spiritual matter that God called to be. Created beings, created land, rocks, jewels, metal, steel, whatever. It's all in here. Everything was made by the Word of God. These chairs were made by materials that came out of God's mouth. Everything, every cell in your body was created by God. Your DNA, everything, all the personality that you are, created by God for His pleasure. The problem is that we were born into a fallen world with a sinful, dead spirit. But once you've been born again, all you need to do is get your mind renewed and present your body to God as a living sacrifice. That means to do whatever He says to do. Go where He says to go. He already promised, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. You know, I'm just going to share with you here. We've got a few minutes. Ever since the beginning of this church, it was under attack. We had a girl in here that was all kinds of Qigong, witchcraft, stuff like that, and she wanted to be in the choir, and she wanted to be in the song, the worship team, and everything. She couldn't sing. I mean, you'd rather hear a donkey bray at midnight at a tin barn than listen to this woman. And when the horse got out of the gate, and people were saying, you let this person in your... I didn't know anything about this. But anyhow, we pulled it all together, and she left, praise God. Then we had another one, said she's a prophet and everything, and she was really had an agenda to take over this church. We had another guy who left this church, and he tried to take as many people from this church with... You know what? If God's called you to do something, you cannot come against it. If God has anointed you for a purpose, shoot your best shot. It's not going to happen because God stands with His anointed. God stands with His calling. He, you know, I could be nothing more than a raunchy old sinner, whatever. God calls me who He calls me. God calls you who He calls you. You can stand in any situation. Why? Because you are God's. You are His. You are His workmanship, created unto good works. And those things speak of Him. They don't speak of you. You may be involved in the process, but He's called you to those things. He's already prepared for you to walk in. So here's what I'm saying. What am I saying, Lord? three ways I could go with this. Let me go back to my notes, because otherwise I'm going to take us down a trail we don't want to go in. I was going to talk about different kinds of angels, but whether they're guardian angels. Did you know that you had, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, your angel was assigned to you? That's when it happened. When you were conceived, an angel was assigned to you. I know that my angel has wanted put in for reassignment many times. I mean, I know I'm an angel of God and everything, but geez, come on. Never happened. He will never say that. Why? Because he delights in you. No matter how far you go down, you know, you have a right to go down and get back up again. God says so. A righteous man will fall seven times and he'll get back up again, because he is able to rise and fall to his Lord and his Master. Amen. You know, the blood of Jesus is so powerful. The blood of Jesus is something that your soul can taste it. Your soul can smell it. Your soul, it is before God. You know, and people think that we are so morbid. But that's the wrong way to look at it. That blood paid a price. That blood was something that caused Jesus to live in this earth. And what he did in living in this earth, he lived for us. He came here for us. He was conceived for us. The words that Gabriel spoke to Mary were filled with the anointing, filled with the blood, filled with everything that would take his DNA. Everything was in that word, came and was conceived in Mary, and she gave birth. Jesus did that for you. He left that throne in glory to come down into the cesspool and be a man, a perfect man, sinless man, a man who grew up in wisdom and stature, growing in all of those things, and people were taking note of him, and he never rose up in pride. But he was limited as a man, just like you and me. He needed to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. He needed angels to come and go. They listened to him, and they obeyed him. Your angels do the same thing for you, because you are his brother and he doesn't know the difference between you and me. You see, angels, they don't have a right to sit in God's presence. Did you know that? They can't sit and relax in God's presence. They have to stand there. Michael is like this. Gabriel is like this. The seraphim are like this. They're singing and praising God. But it says about you and me, we are seated together with Christ. Where is he? He is at the right hand of God. Well, where are you? Now, I'm not saying this to pump you up with pride. This is total humility that it takes to receive the reality of this and who you really are and what you're capable of. That's when you know that, the angels will flock and say, what do you need? I mean, I'm not saying they'll appear to you. They are waiting for you to say something to give them an assignment. And when you speak the word of God, you're speaking the desired result, not the problem. Like Dwight was saying, don't speak to God about your problem. Speak to the problem about your God. The problem, when you're looking at God, the problem is really small, because he is so big. And if you could see him, you'd be scared. I mean, if he even moves, he might squash you. But he loves you. And everything that he is and he has done, he's given you his very best. There is nothing that is impossible with God. In fact, when Gabriel said, nothing is impossible with God, the way that is truly translated is, no word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. When you speak it, it is not void of power. It's still God's word, no matter who's speaking it. You could be some tinker in a mechanic shop or something like that, cussing sailor or whatever. You start speaking God's word, there's going to be a change in you and there's going to be a change in your atmosphere. Just start speaking the word. Speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. Oh, glory to God. You getting anything out of this today? This is coming like hot off the wire. I got a good message here for you, but I can't get into it. Say this. God is my Father. I am important to Him. He has given me a calling. An invitation to walk with Him, to serve Him, to carry out His will in my life that will affect this world for the good. It'll bring people into the kingdom. It will glorify Him. It will bring Him honor. And it will bring me blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Yeah, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the earth, say this, but the earth has He given to the sons of men. He's given me the inheritance of the whole world. What other brand of Christianity would you like? Oh, that was a good word, Phil. That was a really good word, Phil. What other brand of Christianity would you want? You know, when He said that, I heard on the inside here that if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. He wants your heart. You know why? He wants your whole heart, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. That's the forces of life. Those are the well streams of life that comes from that stream that comes from the throne of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That thing flows through you. It's light, love, power, glory, blessing, peace. You want peace? You go look at the magazine racks. They're all looking for peace. Some kind of, please, give me. They're all looking for love. Please. But they're looking for love in the wrong places. They're looking for peace in the wrong places. Nowadays, in this month, you get all the horror movies that you can possibly want. And why is that? Just to get you a little off kilter. So when something happens, you go, oh, you. No, your reaction should be, no. Father, that's all you need to say. I trust in You. What was that? Who said that? I will trust in You. Trust, take refuge under Scripture's truth. That's the anagram for that. You are a son. They are a servant. They're here to help you. When you're doing God's will, they're here to help you. When you're doing your own will, they kind of go, really? But when you're doing the word of God, this is why there's so much blessing. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, if you do the word of God, if you do the word of God, the angels are, oh, what can I do? What can I help you? Well, when you do the word of God, He says, forgive. You go, I can't do that in my own strength. They've hurt. How can you do that? Well, because a legitimate price has been paid for them to be freed from that. And as long as you walk in unforgiveness, you are walking under their power.
Right.
And you're looking for them to change. They can't change. But if you change and say, I forgive them, Father. Erica Kirk. Come on. When she said that from the stage, Father, I forgive you. When he said that man who shot, I forgive him. I forgive him. Do you know at that moment, She took herself out from under that thing and put herself on top of the situation. Angels came to her. And I'm telling you something, she's going places. She's going to bring this thing to the new level it needs to be in. And the purpose for Charlie's death is a seed planted will blossom. And the seed that was comes forth, and it will be harvest after harvest after harvest after harvest of more and more Charlies. His anointing was not in vain. His teaching, his ministry, everything that he did, it was not in vain. It was love of God. It was love of country. It was devotion to Jesus and everything that he died for. It will not just fall to the earth and die. God will not let it happen. And there are millions of men right now who are standing up and said, here I am, send me. Just like Charlie did. Well, you know what? One who's greater than Charlie lives right in you. And you have a host of angels to help you, to come alongside of you. Guardian angels. Angels who are assigned to your life. You have warrior angels ready to fight for you. You may have financial and business matters that are bigger than you. Angels will fight for you. They will do that. Angels will produce situations in your family to help your family grow together and be stronger, to solve a conflict in your family. You know what? Focus on that for a while, because the devil is really after families. He's after them to divide them and conquer them and just ruin. And the most powerful thing in this world is the family. When you have a healthy, strong family or strong together, this is why I love watching this, Constitution Alive, and Rick Green and his family are all so together and so ready to just support one another. It is one of the most beautiful things in the world to see them at a table just doing stuff and getting themselves ready for their next assignment. They have a purpose. They have a calling. They have a revelation of what to do in their life. And look, that's one family. And look what that family has done in preserving constitutional values in this country. God's not going to let that go. He's not done with America. You think he's nuts? 95% of the gospel comes out of here. No, he's not nuts. Say this, God is smarter than me. You know, I got this one. God is smarter than me. He made me. He knows exactly what I want to do in life. He gave me the desire. He put those things in me. He is smarter than me. If I take the wheel, I'm taking all of that out of his hands and I'm trying to work it myself. And here I am struggling against the forces of this world and everything else. Hey, no. He's smarter than me. He created me. I don't have to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I just need a revelation of my calling. Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, go there. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 1? And I think it starts in verse 16. You need a revelation of your calling. And if you ask God for that revelation, he will give it to you. Really? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's start there. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You just need a revelation of your calling, what your purpose is. By the way, that word calling, it means invitation. It's simply an invitation to walk with him, to fellowship with him, to commune with him, to love him and receive his love. The hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of the power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And has put all things, where are you? You're in Christ. And he's put all things under his feet. That means all things are under your feet. These are truths you have to accept by faith. And when you accept it by faith, that's when they become real to you. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Then go to, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Let's go on to chapter 2 here. And start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us, that means made us alive together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, and you go right back, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. You have authority in this earth over the devil and all of his minions, over Satan himself. You have authority because you are in Christ. And Christ has never been defeated and never will be defeated. You are in Christ. You are soaking, bathing in the glory of God. And as long as you think this way and renew your mind and just keep on filling it with what the Word of God says and say that, this is saying about you. Who you have, who you are, what you have, what you can do. All of these things give you a new identity in Christ that you can understand with this peanut-sized little brain that has trying to, your little brain is going like 2 + 2 = 4, and God is pouring in advanced trigonometry. I mean, and like you're drinking through a water hose, fire hose, but the thing is, You've got to understand something about God. He will spoon feed you this if you need it. A little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. And then it starts to multiply itself and transformation starts coming to your mind. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it will not return void. And thank you for totally interrupting this. Father, this message. Jesus. Lord, I just pray for comfort. 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 Just pray. Just stretch your hands over this way. Father, here's what the Lord is saying to you, B. The war is over. The war is over. You are his and he is yours. The war is over. Now receive his peace. Praise God. Say that the war is over. He has defeated all of my enemies. He has defeated me and set me free. Amen. Amen. Joy. Joy. There's joy in the house. That's worth it right there to me. I don't know about you. Message I had for you. It was a nice message, by the way. I may do that another time. But we need to get, look, you can have all the miracles in the world, but unless you have a bedrock foundation of the Word of God, you have nothing to stand on. You know what? You're standing on emotions. And emotions is like walking on air. There's no foundation to it. The Word of God is alive. It's a living thing. And it forms together. It comes together in your mind and locks you in a place where you are in a mighty fortress with a purpose and a plan and an overwhelming desire to overcome everything in life, just like that lion overcomes all the enemies of his pride, his family, and he protects them. Ooh. He goes after one sheep. So good. And all your life, he's led you to that one right place in life where you receive him and come into that fellowship with him that no one else understands but you and Jesus.